Morning to the department.
Recording in progress.
Morning to the department.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Morning, Chairperson.
The ARC, are they here?
They are supposed to be here, Chair, as far as I know.
The agents of here.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, sir.
I'm present. Gratitude. Thank you, Chair. Advocate.
Okay.
Rose is supposed to join. Thanks.
Morning, Chair. I'm also in the meeting.
Oh, okay. You are all welcome. The Office of the AG, the ARC, the Department, and Honorable Members. I officially declare this meeting open, and a very good morning to yourselves. Hope wherever you are, you are fine and fit and well, because it's here in Gauteng, it's too hot, very, very hot, and there's no rain. I thought that Saturday is going to rain, but it was just drizzling, so it didn't rain, so it's hot. But I don't want to waste time with the remarks, but let me go straight to the agenda. Neliswa, let's get to the agenda.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to Chairperson, members, and officials from Department, AGSA and ARC. Chairperson, I have received three apologies from honorable members. One is from Honorable Hlengwa, who will not be able to attend the meeting. The second one is from Honorable Maregwa. She is in the meeting but requests to leave at 11. And then we'll come back again and join the meeting at 2. And the last one is from Honorable Sondi, who's not feeling well. And then I've received an apology.
Did she get the permission from the whip? Nelly, did she get the permission from the whip of the ANC? Because we're dealing with annual report. Honorable Masiko? No, I'm saying, you are saying she'll be leaving at 11. So I'm asking,
yes.
Honorable Masiko, did she approve that apology? Because we are dealing with the annual report. Honorable Masiko?
Speak to Honorable Maregwa on the side. I request for that opportunity to do so.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Sonji, she was admitted at the hospital. I'm not sure whether she's discharged. She was going to do a surgery. I'm not sure whether she's out because I didn't check her yesterday. You said the next honorable member who's off sick is who?
It's Honorable Hlengwa, Chair. She indicated that she won't be able to attend today's meeting, Chair. And then the last apology is from the Minister and the DG who have attended the cabinet meeting. They presenting on 3 cabinet memo, and then they will join the meeting, Chair, after the cabinet meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. Let's go to item number 2. AG's office.
Good morning, honorable chair and honorable members. Thank you so much for having us today. We're here today to share with you the 2021-22 audit outcomes. My name is Kornay Meyburg, and I'm the business unit leader responsible for the portfolio. Unfortunately, Marongwa, who's the senior manager, has a bereavement in her family. So I'm joined today by Thabo Ntuli. He's the manager responsible for the department's audit. So he will be taking us through the presentation. Before we start, maybe just from my side, and Makapoy is also joining us. I'm sure she's also well familiar with the committee. She's our stake liaison manager sitting there in Cape Town. Thank you to Makapoy as well that assists us. So before I hand over to Thabo, maybe just from my side. So as the AGSA, we do exist to provide oversight with insights and therefore enabling oversight. And we really hope that with the insights that we're going to bring to you that we've gathered during this audit year, that it will also enable all the role players to identify those areas where improvement is required, strengthening of internal controls might be required, maybe relooking a bit in terms of where we focus when we prepare an APP and what we do and what we monitor. Because at the end of the day, we want to build public confidence, and I'm sure that everybody in this ecosystem strives towards public confidence, but we can only build public confidence as a collective if the citizens feel that there is service delivery and that they feel that there is their lives is being enriched. So we really hope that with the insights that we're going to share with you today, that we're also going to move closer to that objective. So with that, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to hand over to Thabo, who's going to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Corne, and greetings to the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members, as well as management from the department and from all other entities if there are any represented in this platform. As Corne has already gone through the first slide, I'm just going to take the committee through from slide 3. To the last slide. I think the slide number 3, if you can just go back a bit, Makoko, yes. We are just highlighting the in the ecosystem, the responsible parties in which we would want to see the influence, to actually extract as well as present the insight, influence as well as enforce and enforce what is supposed to be enforced such that the citizens see a positive impact. I think you would know different role.
I'm going to file
players. I'm not going to go through in detail, but we're just highlighting from the department as well as the other entities within the portfolio, there's the different responsibilities, and we also highlight some of them, the coordinating departments and other role players as well. I think if you can just move to the second slide, to the fourth slide, the next slide. Yes, thank you very much. This is actually the presentation of the movement or the outcomes that have been obtained within the portfolio, within the administrative term. We note that the NYDA has retained the clean audit, which is the unqualified with no findings on performance, as well as AOPO. We still have the same outcomes as well for the CGE and the department. With the department, we have an issue on consequence management, which was the issue in the prior. However, there is a slight improvement in that area. I think it will be highlighted in the coming slides as well. I think for the CGE, again, we do have a non-compliance, even though there was the non-compliance that was there in the previous year was dealt with. We noted this year there were two other non-compliance issues which were additional, but those would be highlighted in the coming slides as well. Thank you. You may move to the next slide. Yes, this is a message I think Corne would have highlighted a little bit in the introduction, that in the current year, we, I think from this year going forward, we also would want to picture a different message. I mean, without just coming to the portfolio committee and, you know, to everyone represented, to come and just record what would have been the outcome of the historic information. We would have looked at the annual performance report, the financial statements. We also would want to highlight the impact to the citizens of such outcomes. I think in this slide, you would see that we are talking to the quality of the annual performance report that were provided to us and that we audited, and the final one that has eventually been issued in the annual report. When we received the documents, the NYDA and the Department of Women, the annual report were of good quality. There were no material findings that were noted. And ultimately, the report in the annual report is of good quality in a sense that there were no usefulness issues and there were no reliability issues noted. However, for the CGE, we noted that when we received the document on the 31st of May for audit, we noted findings which, when we allowed management to make corrections, there was unfortunately an adjustment to the achievement, and they ended up not achieving this particular one. I think it's important to note that we, after the audit, we then highlight the impact of the achievement or the updated achievement to the citizens, because we are saying had we had them had the quality of the document and not been correct, you know, in other words, the document initially provided to us had not been correct, it could have reflected an incorrect picture. However, we subsequently got the updated APR, and the target was actually reduced, and we then reporting in the annual report the correct reflection in as far as the impact is concerned. You may move to the next slide. Yes, I think this slide, which is slide number 7, going into slide 13, you will note that there is a different kind of a message we're trying to highlight to the portfolio committee. And we also had engagements with the management of all, I think, of the NYDA, management of the department as well, to just highlight the message that we're going to be sharing with the portfolio committee. I think in this slide, we're looking at the quality. This is where we start looking at the quality of the targets. In as far as it relates to the MTSF, we wanted to see the indicators and targets that are in the MTSF has there been included in the annual performance plans and the annual performance reports, and have the different entities and department been able to achieve those. In this particular slide, we are highlighting that the department achieved 95% of the performance of the targets that they've set for themselves in the current year. The NYDA achieved 100%. The CGE achieved 68%, and then I think 32% was not achieved. I think we would also want to highlight that it looks like a very good performance for the NYDA and the department. We would want them to really take this impact message very seriously, because now we've got some kind of a good foundation for performance information to work with, to try now and look at whether that achievement derives a positive impact for the citizen, considering the mandate of the portfolio. However, we just highlight that the CGE needs to focus on achieving and improving their achievement, and also just if there is any delays on the MTSF that can be experienced due to non-achievement in the current year, they need to find action plans to ensure that those are achieved in the near future. You may move to the next slide. Thank you, Makopoi. I think this slide, as I've mentioned, we looked at the portfolio portfolios, the mandate of the department in particular. And we also looked at the core functions of the department. We wanted to just see, in terms of the responsibility of the department, how is the citizen on the ground impacted. We acknowledge and realize that there is many role players which may involve other parties within the ecosystem, which may even involve the public or the citizens themselves in the portfolio trying to achieve and really achieve a positive impact for the citizens. So here we're just highlighting that even though, I mean, that the 86% of the targets within the portfolio were achieved, but we still see some of, I would say, the issues that are supposed to be really being addressed by the portfolio still prevail. We just want to enter into this conversation where we say, how do we see a positive impact, taking into account all role players that would actually have a positive impact. We acknowledge that there is also the justice portfolio that would play a critical role in as far as especially the issues of women, gender-based violence are concerned. There is also BSD and Department of Education that can play a role in terms of ensuring maybe a reduction in teenage pregnancy. However, this portfolio certainly needs to play a certain role as well. You may move to the next. So here is just a projection of the headlines that we see, and we would want to see a better picture going forward. We looked at the MTSF indicators. We tried then to track and see if these are actually taken into account in the APPs of all the different entities and departments within the portfolio. And we were happy that indeed most of them are actually covered within the portfolio. And then we looked at the achievement of one of those indicators, sitting at a good 86%. And for the CGE, as I've highlighted in the previous slide, it's 66%, which is a little bit concerning, but we acknowledge that they need to actually go. I mean, we acknowledge the reasons that they've put there, COVID-19, some of their indicators needed them to conduct sessions and campaigns, which the COVID-19 I think played a very negative role in terms of them achieving those, but we request that the CGE goes and puts a plan to actually try and achieve this. Yes, I think, but overall we've seen a good progress in terms of achieving what has been planned. But of course, we want to see a bigger picture now in terms of how does this then translate into a positive impact to the citizens. You may move to the next slide, please. Thank you. Okay, I think this slide, it's really a same message. So here we just wanted to zoom in a little bit to an indicator or two. I think for priority two, we just went for one indicator that relates to the implementation of sanitary dignity framework by provinces. I think the department's responsibility is to coordinate and facilitate the interventions to support education, health, and skills development for women, youth, and persons with disability. So we acknowledge that the department's role here is mainly to monitor the implementation. It's not really to implement. However, we are saying since the issues are prevailing, are the reports that the department produces really yielding what they're supposed to yield? Are they taken seriously by those that are supposed to actually take and implement this? I think we had engagements with the DG and her team as well. I think it was highlighted in those meetings that the department does play their role in terms of monitoring and issuing those reports. We just wonder and want to actually highlight that we would want in future to see those yielding a positive impact. And maybe if there is an enforcement or a follow-up on those those implementation plans that they need to be implemented by either the provinces or department within the provinces, we would want to see the department playing an additional role of ensuring that their recommendations in those reports are really being implemented, and those that are supposed to actually oversee those particular departments are really playing their role in terms of ensuring that that takes place. I think in priority six as well, we noticed that the department has quite a number of indicators that are meant to deal with issues of women in as far as the gender-based violence is concerned. So we noted the department that it actually achieved all their targets in as far as that is concerned. I think in one indicator, it's where the department monitors the implementation of the NSP, which is the National Strategic Plan on gender-based violence and femicide. I think we do note within that document there's different pillars and there's different role players, and they actually are supposed to then, the department is supposed to then track the plan and track the implementation of a plan and report on that. That was actually done. Again, the message is to see how does that then translate into positive impact to the citizens. I think we acknowledge that there's a lot of role players in this case, issues of gender-based violence involves a lot of people, including the justice portfolio as well, and perhaps even the security and justice portfolio. I think we also just went through some of the stats. We extracted some of the information from the stats and from SEPs just to highlight the issues that are still being felt by women, on the ground. I think we also wanted to highlight that it may in future also just bring the department unnecessary liabilities when department gets sued for issues of gender-based violence, that they may not have a direct or very hands-on intervention that would actually prevent the department from being sued, but we just highlight that in this particular slide. And you may move to the next slide. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think here we just looked at the budget versus the actual achievements for the Department of Women, as well as the impact of maybe the achievement or the overachievement or the spending or the underspending of the budget. I think in this case, we noted that for the project, we focused mainly to the program that we audited. We selected for audit, which was the only program that we audited, which is Program 2. We noted that the underspending of 5 million was due to the fact that the one reason was COVID-19 issues that prevented the department from traveling, but I think the biggest sum was because of the fact that the National Council for Gender-Based Violence was not established in the current year. I think we noted that it's because of the legislative challenges that was involved in the process of trying to actually develop this or establish this council. And then we just put a recommendation there to say perhaps that should be, or maybe we, before I go through the recommendation, we also just put the impact maybe not achieving or not spending on the program. I think one thing that we highlighted was that there could be slow progress in terms of dealing with the issues of gender-based violence because of perhaps they're slow in establishing this council, or maybe the non-establishment of this council, considering that it should and it would actually play a positive role when established. So we really need to get this established and really start doing what it's supposed to do. So we just put a recommendation there to say, oh, perhaps the legislative issues should be sorted out. The department needs to continue collaborating with the different role players to ensure that this gets sorted out. Thank you very much. You may move to the next slide. This slide, I think we just linked it to the presidency as well, because in the performance information for presidency, they highlighted that certain targets or certain indicators are included in the Department of Women, especially those that relate to the implementation of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. I think indeed we confirmed, we looked at the fact that the department did include these indicators that actually deals or an indicator that deals with this particular strategy. And it did achieve on what they were planning to do for the year or the numbers that they were trying to do for the year. However, we in our reflection, we just highlight that the department is playing a role, which is the monitoring of the implementation. They're not necessarily implementing or having their own projects where they are implementing some of the pillars of the strategy. We're just highlighting that it may have a very slow progress in dealing with the issues of gender-based violence and femicide. And we just also highlight that their recommendations, I wonder if these, or we want to see these being attended to, or the shortcomings that the department would report in their monitoring reports, we would want to see the positive impact from this. I think it's by saying we would want, I think it's everybody's wish to see the positive impact in what the department is trying to achieve through their mandate. But in our engagements with the DG, it was noted that the DG, I mean, the department does go through an extra mile in terms of trying to emphasize the importance of implementation of the plan. They use a platform such as Foresight to ensure that their recommendations are acted upon, and they sort of report on those that are not performing or those role players that are not necessarily implementing this particular strategy. But our reflection, like from this slide, the message is that perhaps we need to see the department playing within their mandate, playing perhaps an implementation role in certain cases over and above the monitoring of the implementation of the particular plan. I think that's the message from this particular slide. Thank you very much. You may move to the next. I think this one, it just relates to the NYDA. It's the same kind of a message as well on slide number 13. I think maybe just to mention for the Department of Women, the slides that we just presented are not necessarily the findings that would make their way to the audit report or the management letter, but it's the observations in as far as their mandate is concerned. We want to see how does the results of what the department is trying to do in their performance reporting is translating to the impact of what these guys are trying to achieve. I think we did the same again for the NYDA, which is a clean audit. They achieve 100% of their targets. I think it's a good a foundation, like really for the portfolio committee to start asking questions, or maybe to continue asking questions regarding now the impact of what these guys are trying to do or are doing, considering the high unemployment rate in the country. So we just want to see how does the clean audit translate to that as well. But in as far as the audit is concerned, these two examples that we're highlighting in this slide did not have an impact in the audit, in the audit report in the management letter, because I think we identified two situations where we are seeing a beneficiary. The NYDA would get a beneficiary who would have applied through a proper process approved to actually get financial assistance for their business. This particular case or this particular example, we're highlighting a beneficiary who owns a small trading company, which required a freezer as well as the mobile fridge. The mobile freezer, as well as the mobile kitchen, to actually be provided to it. Of course, the process is that the beneficiaries are the ones that will get their own suppliers through the quotation and the process that the department would have, the NYDA would have established, which for me is not a problem. However, we wanted to just see if when the NYDA pays the beneficiaries, the suppliers for these, whether then those get then delivered to the beneficiaries. I think one was actually delivered to the freezer, but the mobile fridge was not then provided, the mobile kitchen, I mean, was not then provided, which then, when you look at the impact then to the citizen, would have a negative impact to this particular person in terms of them achieving, the NYD achieving its objective of trying to assist and ensuring that the enterprises of young people are really sustainable, and they ensure that perhaps they create jobs for other people. I think in the whole project, in the whole audit, we noted this and we projected it to the whole audit, and we did the verifications. We went to the beneficiaries to see if they actually did receive what they were meant to receive. We confirmed that in most instances, in all instances we went to, like the, except for these two, there were no issues. But the message that we are highlighting is the future message, where we want to tap into looking at the process after the beneficiary, the process after reporting, basically the process after the financial statements, as well as the APR, to see then the impact to the citizens. But I think with this case, this particular case, that the NYDA is basically in the process of resolving it, because they have mentioned that in their engagement, we engaged the CEO and them and his team. They have given progress to say the beneficiary reported the case, and the case has been it's actually been dealt with by the legal department of the NYDA, and they have requested that the supplier must pay back the money that was paid to it in order for them to deliver the kitchen trailer. So that is the feedback on that particular one. We are then saying, as a recommendation, that perhaps the agency needs to look further than just the process where they would grant them the grant as well as the recording of the expense, perhaps just to see the impact of what they're trying to do to the citizens, to see if it really does have a positive impact in closing the gaps, in cases where you have suppliers that are not providing information. But I think it is worth mentioning that these suppliers are actually being sought out by, they come with the beneficiaries. The beneficiaries choose their own suppliers, and then these suppliers are then being paid by the NYDA. So it's a kind of a difficult one then to say, how do you bring your own person and then they don't deliver. Sorry. Thank you very much. You may move to the next slide. The material irregularities, again, this process, the department was actually implementing within the portfolio. The department is the only one that was implementing the MI process. However, in the first year of implementation, there was no material irregularities noted. However, this process is continuing throughout the years. I think that now that the department is implementing, is going to implement this, throughout, I think, the audit process, we're no longer going to have it not implementing. So, but in the current year, we didn't find any material irregularities to report back to the portfolio committee. You may move. And then on financial management and performance, I think this relates to the financial statements that were submitted. So we're looking at the quality of the financial statements. I think all entities and the department within the portfolio, the financial statements that we obtained, we audited them, and then after the audit again is the same. They didn't actually have any material findings or immaterial differences that were communicated to management that had to be corrected by management. Hence, you see a green picture there, where we say we got a good quality of the financial statements. However, of course, in the process of auditing, we then noted there's certain control deficiencies. I think for proper record keeping, we noted that of the two, of the three, there was one where there could have been an improvement in terms of record keeping or keeping of information, and then the daily monitoring and controls. I think here we don't have a lot of issues, but we just need those that are sitting at a yellow to improve their daily reconciliations and monthly controls. I think this is because there would have been, as much as there are no material findings, there would have been those findings that we felt the entities within the portfolio needs to deal with them to ensure that they don't escalate to being findings that may find themselves in the audit report on qualifications. And then INEM and and monitoring is the same case as well as the daily and monthly controls. Here we also noted findings, however they were not material to actually mean that there's issues to report on the audit report. However, I think we strive to actually ensure that the controls are in place and controls are designed properly, and the controls are implemented to ensure that the quality of financial statements are good, and then the department entity and I mean the agency as well as the commission issues good quality in terms of the financial statements. And then the review and monitor compliance, I think we have, as a result of control deficiencies, we have noted the issues. I think consequence management issues that we noted in the department as well as the commission, where we have, I think the for the department, it related to the irregular expenditure, the previous irregular expenditure. I think for the CGE, it related to the fruitless and unlawful expenditure, as well as irregular expenditure. And then the CGE had one more finding on compliance again, which was on, I think, the expenditure management, which it was because of the payments that were not properly approved. So I think that's, approved by the delegated officials. So I think that was one other finding for the CGE. Yes, I think on the impact, we're just highlighting that a good financial statement or good reporting in terms of the financial statements provide a good base for the different entities within the portfolio to start or to actually focus on service delivery and focus on what they need to do. So we've got that to be really sorted and to be continued in terms of the good reporting. We just need to focus then on implementing those, the mandate of different entities within the portfolio to ensure that they achieve their objective. Then you may move to the next slide, please. Thank you. We look at the financial health. You see on the section of impact, that's where we highlight material issues or the issues that may actually mean that there is a financial health issue within the portfolio. There was not really a big financial problem or I think overall the portfolio is sitting overall on a good financial health. I think that's what we want to highlight in this particular slide. Even though there would have been the average days or on collection, I think being 82%, we've got creditors payment period of above 80 for two entities within the portfolio. However, I think overall we don't have issues of financial viability. So that's what we want to actually highlight in this particular slide. Thank you. In this slide, we highlight the compliance issues that were noted, compliance with key legislation. Again, the NYDA did not have any findings on compliance in the current year as well as in the prior year. However, the Department of Women had, in the 2021 financial year, had two consequence management findings, which was the irregular expenditure as well as the unauthorized expenditure. The department, however, was able to deal with the unauthorized expenditure. Therefore, in the current year, they no longer have a consequence management issue on unauthorized expenditure. However, they still have the irregular expenditure issue remain. I think one thing I would like to highlight here is that the department has actually dealt with a number of transactions from prior years in them trying to deal with consequence management. However, unfortunately, it was not everything that they could be able to deal with. I think there are reasons in the next in the following slides that the department has given and that we have observed being the reasons for the department not being able to deal with the irregular expenditure in totality in as far as consequence management is concerned. And then for the CGE, in the prior, they had a finding on where they had adjusted the financial statements. This year they presented a good quality financial statement. However, they have two additional findings on consequence management, which relates to consequence management that was not dealt with for fruitless and useful expenditure as well as irregular expenditure. And that one finding on expenditure management, which was the payments that were not authorized, were not properly authorized. I think that's the finding that we noted here. So we're just saying consequence management is the most common compliance issue within the portfolio. I think the root causes are highlighted in one of the slides that follow. Thank you. You may move. Again, I think this slide is the slide that deals with regular expenditure that was noted within the portfolio. We have seen a decrease in irregular expenditure from 2021 to 2022 by 50%. The contributors, I think top contributors we highlighted just for, I think the highlight is just for, it's just for the 2022, which is 1.6 for the CGE and then 187,000 for the Department of Finance. I think for the CGE, we further indicated below that one particular was related to the salaries for the commissioner's PA. I think this was in contravention of the of the recruitment policies here. And then for one other big amount as well was related to employee cost related non-compliance within the CGE as well. We also highlight that some of the non-compliances that resulted in irregular expenditure were due to procurement of services from Deloitte. I think this is for the CGE. The fairness, I think the SM process not followed for one of the transactions that we noted for the Department of Women, which amounted to 187,000. But the non-compliance for this was actually incurred in the prior year, and the expenditure was in the prior year, and the expenditure was incurred in the current year, which makes it a regular expenditure in the current year. Thank you very much. I think I can move from this slide. This slide deals with the consequence management. It deals with the balance of irregular expenditure that has not been dealt with in as far as consequence management is concerned. You would note that irregular expenditure at closing balance sits at 327 million. However, the consequence management has happened, I think, in the prior years for a big sum of this. I think a big sum is sitting at the NYTA. So they have not, it was not condoned. However, in as far as consequence management is concerned, they have dealt with it. Here we only have two instances. We have two entities within the portfolio that have not dealt fully with the irregular expenditure or the consequence management on irregular expenditure. I think the biggest contributor being the Department of Women. They still have to deal with 28 million worth of irregular expenditure in their consequence management process, and the CGE has to deal with 410. Almost half a million in as far as consequence management is concerned. I think the reasons then for this not being dealt with for the department, some of the transactions were actually addressed of the 42 million that is disclosed as regular expenditure in their closing balance. They dealt with around 15, 16 million. However, there is the 28 million that had not been dealt with. The reasons were that the department, in trying to deal with this, they could not find certain supporting documents, the payment batches. I think the reason that was given was that one of the reasons that was given was that these transactions are old, and the system apparently crashed in 2017, so they could not easily trace some of the transactions in the register that was reconstructed to the payment batches, so that it could be easy then to deal with each instance of non-compliance. So this is actually what the department is currently dealing with. And I think in the meeting that we had of these particular slides with the DG and the CFO, it was said that the department has dealt with a big balance of this, which we're going to be looking at and auditing in the 2023 financial year audit. And the CGE, the reasons were that there was no capacity at the CFO position, or there was no stability, in fact. So I think this was the reason that there was lack of consequence management. Next slide. I think here we then concluding. I think the conclusions are mainly in this particular slide relating to the audit outcomes. So for women, as far as it relates to consequence management, we noted the root causes being the fact that the documents were missing, and there was no capacity or enough capacity to collect all information on time in order for it to be dealt with in the year that we had audited. And then for CGE, we noted the instability in the CFO's position in terms of trying to deal with the issues. And then we noted that the consequence management for women is a repeat finding that had been there, I think, for the past 2 years or more. And then the key recommendations, I think, to the committee, as well as the accounting officers, to say the department should actually consider cost versus benefit and just try and go through maybe getting a resource or getting people to try and retrieve the documents in order for it to be easy for them to deal with the consequence management. I think the feedback was that the department is dealing with this, which is, I think, a good report back from the department. I think you would have noted that for the CGE, we had said that the consequence management didn't happen because of the instability in the CFO's position. Our recommendation here is that the policies and procedures for consequence management and investigating must be updated to follow, to actually have a process where it's not dependent on a person or a position. It should be, the consequence management should be implemented whether the CFO is there or not. I think that is the message that we're trying to highlight here, that it shouldn't be a case where if you have an instability in a certain position, that you can't totally deal with the certain process within the financial year. There is a commitment again from the department to say they would approach CETA to try to retrieve the documents. I think I've highlighted this a couple of times with the department. It's actually the process of dealing with the consequence management. Thank you. You may move to the next slide. Consequence management. I think this is one message that one slide that is important for the portfolio committee. The message that we're trying to highlight and request that the portfolio committee deal with in the current year. As far as consequence management is concerned, we're saying the oversight committee should focus on this and prioritize that the consequence management issues are actually dealt with. The second one, it relates to the performance target and the indicator. So here, as I've mentioned in those slides where I was highlighting the impact issues, it's not a finding per se in the audit outcomes that we just presented. It is to say we want to enter into this particular message that we want to drive in terms of the impact to see service delivery kind of reporting or I would say feedback from all role players so that we can actually have a positive impact on the ground. And then the last one is to say the CGE needs to monitor their performance against the target to just ensure that they meet their MTSF targets. I think this is one that we would want the portfolio committee to also take from this particular meeting. I think this was the last slide, Chairperson. Yes, I think before maybe we continue, I would just want to give feedback. I think the Chairperson wanted to a little bit of feedback on some of the matters that we highlighted in the meeting that the Chairperson, we had with the Chairperson. I think on the CGE, it was the issues of some of the assets that were noted to not be working in one of the regions. I think the team that was auditing CGE indicated that that particular item, I think it was noted in the internal auditor's reports when we're doing our risk assessment, when we're engaging in this audit and during the planning stage. The team dealt with it by attending to the risks, and they actually did the verifications of those assets. And I think there were no then findings that were noted in that regard. And then the items that were also not working, I think the management's response to those was that some of them could not be used due to COVID-19 restrictions. I think that was their response. And in our evaluation, we then, I think, noted that these assets, I mean, they then could be used, but we're going to follow up in the next year to see if there is any issues that may lend themselves into the financial statements and as far as those assets are concerned. I think that is one feedback I have for the CGE. And then on the NYDA, the chair also wanted to know how we dealt with a number of allegations. I think there was an email, it was an anonymous email. So we went through that particular email, we went through all the allegations one by one. What we did, we considered them for our audit processes, like the risk assessment. We noted, we in certain instances, we increased our risk and our professional skepticism. We ensured that we are covered in as far as the audit is concerned. We noted that some of the issues are not necessarily relating to the scope of the audit that we are doing. Some relate to the previous years, and some are not necessarily some things that we can follow up through the audit process. I think in our audit, we concluded, I think we audited and didn't find any findings that may have landed themselves in the audit report or the management letter in as far as those are concerned. But I think we, with more information in the next coming financial year audit, we will look into some of those and in certain instances, if there is a need, engage our investigations business unit to deal with those. But in as far as the audit of the 2021-2022 financial year, there were no issues that we noted that would have landed themselves into the audit report and the management report, as well as basically the audit outcomes that we just presented in this meeting. Thank you very much, Chair. I think that is the presentation from our side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thabo. First of all, I hear you were responding to the issues that I've raised regarding the anonymous emails or letters that were sent. We're all over the media, but also were sent to other honorable members regarding the alleged corruption or irregularities that are happening in the NYDA. Put this to the portfolio committee. I had a meeting with the AGs, the AG office, and I have raised the issues that were in the public domain regarding the alleged corruption in the NYDA, which they were specific that it's things that are done by the CEO. And I wanted clarity on them, on when they do audit. Have they considered, have they audited those things that the whistleblower is talking about or has raised as a concern, so that at least we understand what exactly is going on in the NYDA. And I wanted them to give us a report on what have they done, so that we know exactly that as the portfolio committee, what needs to be done by us. But I thought that when you come to this meeting today, you are going to list the issues that are within your scope of practice and those that are not relevant to your scope. And so that at least we know that how do we strategize and move forward regarding some of the issues that are raised by the whistleblower there, because we don't want to find ourselves wanting, not knowing on how to deal with matters that have been raised by a whistleblower, and then they don't find expression. So it was on this basis that Thabo is responding today or reporting to the portfolio committee, but yeah, they haven't listed those that are within their scope of practice. We would like you, Thabo, to also write those that are in within your scope of practice, so that at least we know which ones we must focus on, and then leave those that you have dealt with so far. But I think the other things that I've raised with you, I'm still going to raise here in this meeting, so that honorable members must know that there are issues that as the chair, I have noticed, and I have a concern with regards to the report from the AG's office. One is it's program two, which almost all these years when the AG's office is doing audit in the department, your focus two. And I said in that meeting, they is program four and five, which was badly performing. And even now, a program, they have met the two programs, which is youth and persons with disabilities. And they're underperforming too, because they have the underspending. So I wanted to know from the AG's office on why all these years you are focusing on one program. Is it because it's easy for you to do the work? And when we get the report as the portfolio committee, does it reflect a true reflection on the performance of the department? Because I'm not sure why. What informs that? Why are you choosing one program all these years? So for us, when we look at the ARC report, and we can see that there are many things that are happening there. The findings of the ARC report, they give us a true reflection on what exactly is happening in the department, and where are the shortcomings, where are the gaps, and where they are performing well. And hence, I ask a question to yourselves on what is your relationship with the ARC in all the three entities, the department, the NYDA and CGE. Because things that I have raised with you regarding CGE, where I said there is goods and services, there were items that were bought by CGE, which were just placed somewhere, but they were not fully utilized. And what does that mean? What are the implications of that? So when we don't see those things in your audit report, then we ask ourselves as the portfolio committee, why are these two reports not talking to one another? Because even if they are not talking to one another, But the glaring issues that are there, as the AG's office, you should be having them in your findings. So those are some of the things that I've raised with the AG's office that I'm sure the sample that you're using, I don't know what informs that and who chooses that, which program do you audit? Because one becomes suspicious that, the fact that you are auditing one program, it does not reflect a true reflection on what is the performance of the department. I think I even mentioned the targets of the department that we as the portfolio committee, when we assess the performance of the department and looking at the strategic plan and the APP and money spent, sometimes it doesn't make sense. And we ask ourselves, when you do audit, do you get value for money when you do your audit, or what do you get? I even made examples to the AG's office. And I'm sure you were noting the things that I have raised with you. And I was hoping that today maybe you'll tell us other things that I have raised with you, including the NYDA, that when you do an audit in the NYDA, there was an issue of a house built in Sidibeng which it was said the NYDA spent 2.4 million, if I'm not mistaken. Honorable Sheriff knows that that case because I went with her for fact finding in Sidibeng, and I also invited NYDA chair and the CEO so that they can bring their reports and respond to that issue that was all over the media on what exactly is happening here. And we got the report. We were having them in the meeting in Sidibeng municipality. The executive mayor was there. And I think those are some of the questions that I raised with yourself, that the report that we were given by NYDA at that time was that they did not spend 2.4 million, but they have spent 500,000 as a stipend that they were paying to the intern, 2018, AMA interns, to the interns, and because they were having a program. And then we do have that report. But I think these were some of the things that I have a concern as the chair. And I would like to see the AG's office auditing program 4 and 5, which is now it's program 4, so that we get a true reflection. And whilst we're reading the report, we could even see that there is money that was rolled over from the disabled program, which is plus minus 5 million, if I'm not mistaken. And there's an outcry out there that we don't take, the department is not taking persons with disabilities serious. So when we were reading the annual report, we were wondering on why was 5 million rolled back to National Treasury whilst there's an outcry out there that persons with disabilities are not getting joy from government. And we made a request for one of the disabled person that we visited as the portfolio committee when we were doing oversight, who needed a custom-made wheelchair. And we were informed that there's not enough money, but there's $5 million that was rolled back to National Treasury. So what does that mean? So I'm raising all these issues because I think they are critical for us as public representatives, so that when we do oversight, you can't be telling us one story every year. The fact that you're telling us one story every year, it means even yourselves, you must see what here there is something wrong. So there's the need for you as the AG's office to go and look at other programs when you do auditing. We don't want to see a report because it's misleading us that you are auditing one program every time. That's not a true reflection that makes them to get unqualified reports. So with the things that I've just raised as the chair of the portfolio committee, I think you'll have to improve from how then you are doing your audit, and how do you improve your working relationship with ARC without of course taking away their independency and your independence too, as the office of the AG. But I think you need to get those reports, analyze them, and see on when you do your next audit, where should you focus? Yeah, it was on those bases that I'm raising all the things. If even yourself, you can remind me if there are other things that I have raised with you and you haven't responded to. Let me give honorable members I think all the things that I have written down, I have spoken to. I've spoken to your recommendations that it's one thing every year. It is precisely because you are focusing on one program. Over to you, honorable members. I see the first one was Honorable Sheriff, Honorable PT, Honorable Masiko. Yeah, in that order, honorable members.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the department and the AG's office. Chairperson, first, I can't agree with you more. Looking at the report by the AG, it doesn't give us the crux of the matter, specifically looking at persons with disabilities. Chairperson, I was with you when we went on that oversight to the lady that needed a wheelchair, and it was heartbreaking that the department could not even collaborate with province in order to make sure that Umama gets the wheelchair. And then for $5 million to go all the way back to Treasury is super disappointing, and the department must answer for that. Chairperson, in terms of the report, I didn't get any proof of the regulatory role that the department's mandate is. And this is concerning for me because the AG is meant to monitor and evaluate the work that the department is doing, and there isn't even a report on the regulatory aspect of their role. Chairperson, when we look at the Sanitary Dignity Program, for example, the department produces reports which are mainly monitoring and evaluation. But Chairperson, you'll remember when we did our oversight and we came to Gauteng and we asked about the Sanitary Dignity Programs, we were then told and we discovered that sanitary products were not issued because of a problem with the tender. And so I'm surprised that these sort of things are not necessarily picked up by the AG. My next concern is that the AG mentions, I'll tell you now, on slide number 12, where they speak about the National Strategic Plan on GBVF, and they say that the targets are low. Surely that should give a finding to say it should raise red flags, because gender-based violence and femicide is a pandemic we are struggling in this country. Women and members of the LGBT remain unsafe in this country, and it is the role of the department to do something about it. So when the AG says, oh, their targets are too low, surely that should be a red flag for the AG to dig in a little bit deeper. So I can't accept that Mr. Tabo comes to this committee and saying to us, oh, well, you know, we don't see the improvement on the ground because the targets are low. We are not accepting it today in this portfolio committee. Chairperson, I want to then ask, what exactly does the AG, what do they do in their audit when it comes to program two? How does it actually happen? Because I'm just seeing green all over the report, but when I look on the ground, things are not green. Things are red. Women's blood is spilling on the floor. So I can't accept it in good conscience, Chairperson. Chair, and then, you know, back again to persons with disabilities. I'm very disappointed that the AG feels that perhaps it's not important for them to look into. But let me tell you something. People with living with disabilities in this country are struggling, and something needs to happen. Chair, I'll leave it there because I am getting a little bit passionate about this, because we as the Portfolio Committee, we were elected to serve the citizens of this country. So when we get reports that I agree with you, Chair, feels like it's somewhat misleading in a sense, for me, it's a problem. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sheriff, you got cut off or you're done?
I'm done, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable PT.
Thank you very much, Chair, and a very good morning to all colleagues, honorable members, the Auditor General's office, as well as our team that's supporting us in the Portfolio Committee. Chair, I hope I am audible because I am having a bit of a problem with my network, but I will assume that I am audible, so I will continue. Chair, I just wanted to quickly just step in on the report that has just been presented to us with a particular focus on the NYDA. And I think it also speaks to a point that you've raised earlier on, Chair, regarding, you know, the issues that we've sort of seen as the Portfolio Committee as they pertain to the NYDA. And the first point really that I want to speak to is, you know, I see that the report has mentioned that the NYDA has met all their targets. But there's a huge concern, Chair, which you've touched on around the number of allegations that the NYDA in the past couple of weeks have surfaced to the public regarding allegations of corruption, regarding procurement irregularities that have taken place within the NYDA. There's matters of nepotism that have, allegations of nepotism that have taken place that have been leveled against the CEO. There's been accusations of tenders and contracts being given to family members and friends. There's been allegations around the budget spending of the NYDA. And so, you know, I think for me, what really stands out in this particular report is that there's been no mention of these particular issues, or at least some form of clarity being given, at least on the AG's perspective, on some of these projects and contracts that have been singled out to be found, you know, to be unlawful, of course, through allegations. And so I really would like to get some clarity from the AG's office whether these issues have been picked up. If they have not been picked up, can we just have an indication of what are the findings, at least, that the AG has been able to say whether or not these are accurate or these are false? I think these reports are fundamentally important in guiding the portfolio committee to do adequate oversight over the NYDA. And I think it's very concerning that, you know, when you don't see these issues filter through this particular report, it does beg the question, you know, what exactly is really being picked up in these particular issues. So I really would like to get some clarity around that particular issue. We as the portfolio committee need to be well versed to do our job of oversight over these entities to ensure that every rand and every cent of the public's money is being used in the way that it's supposed to. And where it's not being used the way it's supposed to, you know, we do rely on bodies like the Audit and Risk Committee, as well as the Auditor General's Office, to ensure that, you know, these things are picked up and that the committee can act accordingly on the basis of these issues. So my concern at this stage is that we've seen a number of issues that have come forward, and we'd really like to get some clarity from the AG's office on these issues. I do realize and pick up in the report the issue of the kitchen trailer that was not delivered to a beneficiary of the NYDA. And so, you know, I wonder to myself, because there's quite a number of these issues that we've actually seen where beneficiaries are either not paid on time or not paid at all. So can we just have more clarity, you know, on these particular issues? If you look at that report, the NYDA is only reported in probably two or three slides of the entire report. So I don't believe that is an accurate reflection. And it doesn't present me with enough information, Chair, to be able to do adequate oversight and be versed with the information that I need to have in regards to the NYDA. So I would like to get an expansion on the work that was done in terms of the audit of the NYDA. And then secondly, I would really like to understand, Chair, you'll recall that, you know, with the Audit and Risk Committee, we had a lot of problems, particularly problems related to lack of information, lack of explanation on particular issues that we had requested from them. They also did not give us the documents and the information that was required. And so I think I become very worried when I see a report, or at least a PowerPoint presentation from the AG's office that resembles a little bit of what the ARC presented to us in our last meeting, you know, very lacking information and not having sufficient information to really assist the committee to do its job. So I must reiterate the comments of my colleague, Honorable Sharif. I am a bit disappointed in this report that we've received. I really expected a more thorough report that can really allow us to be able to act accordingly, particularly with the type of allegations and type of funds that are being alleged to have been misused within the NYDA, and for us to really get some information, at least from the AG's office, around these particular issues in terms of their process in auditing the NYDA. So, Chair, I'll stop there for now, and hopefully we can get that information in this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masibo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and one must firstly appreciate the report from the Office of the Auditor General. I think, Chair, one has been covered mostly by your first comments and deliberations on the report that we have received, particularly on the issue of the Program 4, which speaks to the rights and persons with disabilities, as well as the Program 5, the National Youth Development Program. With the current challenges that we are facing or concerns that have been expressed over time by the Portfolio Committee in terms of our oversight role in relation to these two programs, I think it is important for us to just get an overall picture and understanding on the side of the Auditor General, as well as the Audit and Risk Committees and their own assessment of the performance of these programs, particularly when it comes to issues of the return on investment, Chairperson, that you have raised. It's important for us to get a picture of that. So I'm really covered, Chair, in relation to that, as well as the issue that has been raised by your good self, as well as Honorable Mpiti, on the assessment, Chair, and the true reflections of what is happening in the National Youth Development Agency. We do appreciate the clean audit that the NYDA has been receiving over time, Chairperson, but I think it's equally important that when we receive as the public, as well as the members of the Portfolio Committee, serious allegations that of financial misconduct, because these allegations relate to the financial misconduct of the agency itself. It's important for us to then, if such is happening, to get a true assessment on how such could miss the eye of the Auditor General or the Audit and Risk Committee. So for me, it's important to check on issues of the internal controls and as well as the necessary checks and balances on such, if we are receiving such allegations. We know that it's not a sole responsibility of the Auditor General to investigate such, but it's important for us to check on whether these allegations have been tested and whether or not on the side of the auditor, the auditing has taken place on what has been raised. Chairperson, I am a bit concerned on the report that says that some of the reports that have been given and returned, for instance, an example was made that one of the agencies, I think it's the Commission on Gender Equality, had submitted a report that had said a target, certain targets have been met, only to find that upon return, the targets were not met, which then speaks to the actual internal controls of the CGE itself. So what has been the opinion of the Auditor General on such act? Does it speak of weak internal controls of the department? Because if targets are said to be met only to find that that is untrue, it then brings to question the internal controls as well as the checks and balances of the commission itself on the stages that each a target passes in order for them to reach such a stage of the Auditor General, and then it is returned to say that it's not true. The issues of the consequence management, Chairperson, I think it's issues that have been reported and are reoccurring, and I think we really do need to pay closer attention to. It's worrying that we keep on getting reports every now and again, that as much as there has been some irregularities that have taken place under the watches of officials, and then there is no consequence management that is taking place. I think, Chairperson, on the side of the department and the agencies, as well as the commission, there must be some form of accountability that is taking place in relation to issues of a consequence management. And we must be told and receive a report on how, in terms of the action plan, those that have been responsible for irregularities will be held accountable. But, Chairperson, I think in terms of measures to deal with non-compliance, as well as the strengthening of regular monitoring on the side of the Auditor General, as well as the Audit and Risk Committee, we ought to get a report on how they are regularly monitoring the department and the agency as well as the commission. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
So this one is 2G or is 5G? Honorable members, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes,
can you hear me? Is Masiko done?
Yes, sir, I'm done.
Are you done?
Yes, sir, I'm done.
Honorable Perry? Okay, thank you, Honorable Masiko. Honorable, if you can come in.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, thank you for allowing me to come back in one more time. I just want to ask the AG's office regarding the 15 million rand that was first allocated to the National Council of GBVF and was then reallocated to the GBVF Secretariat. Are they aware that that 15 million comes to an end this year, and why have they not reported on it? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I'm done.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Chair.
Any other hands? Is there any other hands? No, no hint. Okay, over to you, AG.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you for the question. So I'm going to start with responding, and then I'll hand over to Thabo just to respond to the Sedibeng matter that was raised on NYDA that was in the media, and the 5 million that was mentioned to be surrendered. So, in terms of our process when we audit the performance information, since 2020, we've only selected one program. I think that is going to change going forward because we specifically did it for, to accommodate during the COVID time. But as we're moving out of that and has moved out of that, we potentially is going to move back to select more than one program. When we select a program, there is different criteria that we will consider. Whether it's part of the core function, the amounts in terms of the budget, and then there's other considerations that we will also consider. But we take your comment, and when we do the selections this year again for going forward, we'll definitely also consider the inputs that you've given us to make sure that if there isn't qualitative indicators or indications, that we should then also consider some of the other programs. So thank you for that. We'll definitely look at that. In terms of the audit committee and the internal audit, so we do have good working relationships with the audit committees at the different at the department and the different entities. I think there is a bit of change, a difference in terms of our mandate compared to the internal audit. So audit committee is responsible for the direction that the internal audit must focus and where they should focus their time on. They approve their plan. And then internal audit is more a management tool. I mean, they are there on the ground. They can be directed quickly, move to focus on where there is then a risk. They also focus more on internal controls. So there will be a slight difference between what internal audit does and what we do. I mean, if there is a risk in terms of procurement, chances are that we will focus on the same thing. But our focus is on expressing an opinion on the financial statements. So if we talk about the assets at CGE that wasn't in use, procuring the asset would be part of our focus. The amount spent, the approval processes, when they paid it, that will be part of what will be included in the financial statements. But the actual use of the asset is not part of a regularity audit focus. So, and I think we don't want to, we don't want external audit and internal audit to do exactly the same thing and being paid for exactly the same thing. And therefore, internal audit is the appropriate unit to then look at those things and report to management that there was assets that has been bought that is now being procured. It's there in the storeroom. It's not being used. But as long as the procurement process was in line with the requirements, the amounts is in terms of what was according to the tender or the quotation, and the asset has been received, it's not going to necessarily impact the audit. So I do think, and I remember last year, Chairperson, we spoke about it, that we should maybe have a joint session between us, the portfolio committee and the audit committees, so that we can also see how we work together, but also maybe clarify the differences in our roles and responsibilities so that we are clear how we support one another. I then just want to talk to...
still on that one, this one of procurement. Obviously, I'm happy that you try to simplify for us so that we can understand where is your focus in terms of your auditing. But I think what is lacking from your side is whether when they whether you also consider the need analysis, because before they procure there should be some form of a report, you know. Like for instance, they procure, you are focusing on issues of procurement, whether they did comply in terms of formal processes and so forth. But I think the other thing that you need to look at, whether there was a need for that, you know, I think it's important because for them to go and procure those TVs and so forth or whatever, whether it's laptops or whatever, and then at the end of the day they buy more when they needed only two. That on its own does have an impact, a negative impact in terms of financial management. I thought maybe I wanted to raise that with yourself, but I'm happy that at least you have clarified where do you draw the line, where are your limitations, and where is your scope. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So yes, part of the procurement process will be the motivation why a certain service or product must be procured. So we will look at that to see whether it's within the mandate of the organization. We won't necessarily have the insight to say if they say they need 10 laptops to make that assessment, or whether that is a fair number of assets that they need to procure. But we do look at the overall motivation. What I'm not sure about as I'm sitting here is whether that specific transaction was part of our audit selection. We can come back and just indicate to you whether the procurement of the TV and the laptops was part of our selection. But normally we would look at the motivation if it's part of our scope. Then in terms of the, thanks, Jay, the insights that we brought to you. So our responsibility is to, as I say, to provide assurance. So we provide assurance that the financial statement is fairly presenting, whether information therein is accurate or not. Then we will look at compliance, and we select, we scope in certain legislation from the PFMA or sections from the PFMA that we will specifically scope in. So if there's other non-compliance and it's not scoped in, it won't be reported in the audit report. And then on the performance information, we will audit the APP that has been approved by the minister and has been submitted to the portfolio committee. So if the indicators in there is maybe not stretching enough, we can only audit what is in there. And I think that is what we are saying, is we want to bring you that insight to say, this is what we find on the ground in the APPs that might require a bit of stepping back and saying, is what we have in here enough to make a change? So we're auditing the actual reporting at the end of the day, and there might be benefit in calling DPME, the Department for Monitoring and Evaluation, to come and assist the committee on what they found in the APPs when it comes to the actual indicators. I think there's a slight difference between what we as the AG do and what DPME is doing. There's not a slight difference. There's a huge difference between what the two of us is doing. But DPME is there to provide guidance on the APP. They do a review on all the departments. They give information and feedback to the departments on what they found. And then they would want the departments to implement those recommendations. So from my side, I am happy, you know, that at least we brought the message to the committee to say, we as the AG are as concerned about what is currently maybe in the APP. And we do think that there is room to review and to see what is in there, to make sure that within the departments and in the entity's mandate, they can have a bigger impact, to make sure that the lived experiences of our citizens become something where they feel the impact of the initiatives that is being monitored by the department and the entities, and then implemented by NYDA. So I can't agree more that we are also concerned about some of the indicators, and that is why we brought you those insights. Let me just get where I am. I think the 15 million that was just referred to by Honorable Sharif on whether the department is aware that it's coming to an end, I would recommend that maybe the question be posed to the department on whether they're aware and what are they doing on that money specifically. We won't know if they're aware of that money and that it is coming to an end at this point. And then there was another question that I wanted to respond to. Oh, there was a question on the CGE that made adjustments to their performance information. And I fully agree. It is an indication that their internal controls is not sufficient or strong enough to pick up that the supporting documentation that they include in what they report is they're not accurate. So definitely from CGE side, they need to look at their internal controls, see what weaknesses there is and how they can improve those, so that when they submit information to us for audit purposes, they submit information that is accurate and complete. So at the moment, once they corrected it, it wouldn't impact the findings. So if we have the evidence that support what they finally submitted, then we accept that information. We do include that paragraph that says that there was corrections to the performance information. I think at this stage, on NYDA, what we will do is we will send you something in writing just to indicate which of those allegations falls within the AGSA mandate, which is outside the mandate, and then which of those findings have been allegations and specific transactions was part of our scope. And if it was part of our scope, what was the outcome of that? So I commit from our side that we will give you something in writing just to unpack that allegations and how it relates to us and what we found. Thanks. I'm going to hand over to Thabo just to respond to the Seri Beng matter that was also in the
media. I think before that, I think the other thing that we have a concern as a portfolio committee regarding the issue of donors, you know, money that is donated to whether the department, the MDA and CGE, whoever gets a report on exactly on how that money is being spent. I'm not sure for now that whether will be overworking you, will be making you to do a lot of work, but I think we have a responsibility as a portfolio committee to know funds are being utilized by the department, NYDA and CGE. And I'm sure in the risk committee, ARC is here. I'm sure they need to look at that also and come back and give us a report so that we know exactly what is that money doing. Unlike being told that the funds were donated, but we don't know how are they utilized. Yeah. No, thank you. Good. Thank you, Kone.
Chairperson, just a quick one. I did put it on the chat, but Kone. The department is very much aware of it, but my question was directed to you at the AG office. Are you aware of it, and have you audited the expenditure of that money, of that 15 million rand? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thabo will also then respond to the 15 million, so he's going to respond to the Seri Beng media article, the 5 million that was surrendered, and then the 15 million. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. If you don't have a report today, you can
The 5 million, I think, if I'm not mistaken, unless I got the question wrong, I think it was maybe related to a program or which was another program that we didn't necessarily audit. However, we do audit the reasons. I mean, the reasons for either not spending, underspending, or overspending on the project. So, I think that is management assertion rather than our. I mean, what we have done in terms of auditing that particular amount. But management can I think is better placed to answer what we do. I think it's the same case with the one where we have 5 million. I think perhaps it's the one that you're asking about, the one for program two, where we had an underspending for a program where they were supposed to develop, I think it's a national council for gender-based violence and femicide, which was not developed. I think as a result, they did not then spend on those. I think that it was the feedback that we got when we audited those reasons. So there was no spending in as far as that is concerned. And the reason being, the delay in terms of the establishment of that concept. It links exactly to the issue that Honorable Sheriff has also raised the 15 million. I think the 5 million, which was allocated in the current year, is also not spent due to the fact that the National Council was not developed or established as it was supposed to be established. So I think that is the response. However, in as far as the expenditure is concerned, we do audit goods and services and other line items in terms of the expenditure. However, I'm not sure if it would have been taken. It would have been part of the sample, but I can say that we did not necessarily audit that one specifically or focus on that particular one. We would have a sample where we audit maybe goods and services as well as the other line items in the financial statement. But I think management can also give insight in terms of how and when whether that 15 million, which in fact could be 5 million in this current year, how was it not spent and why was it not spent? I think that one of the reasons was that there was the NC on gender-based violence that was not established. So that is the answer on the 15 and the 5 million. But if it leads to the program of disabilities, unfortunately, it's the part that is the part of the program that we did not necessarily audit. We in the current year, we audited program 2. In the previous years, we had audited, I think we had been auditing program 3. So we changed in the current year. I think part of the reason we changed, we considered the portfolio committee's recommendations as well, because they were also concerned about the issues of gender-based violence. So this particular program, as much as it had other criteria that we used, the budget and other things, we also considered the fact that it talks to the issues of gender-based violence. So we felt in the current year that this one is probably the one that we're going to be looking at. However, Corne has answered in the sense that we're going in the years coming after COVID, we're going to probably scope more programs than just one. I think that matter would actually be sorted out. And then the matter that relates to CDBing and the NYPA, when we tried to make follow-ups on that particular matter, the management gave us a letter that was it was the media report or something that was issued by the CDBing municipality, retracting the allegations or the statements that they may have made incorrectly about the NYPA in as far as that issue is concerned. So I think after having evaluated that, we did not necessarily then select that specifically to deal with it in our audit. However, I think that the program of giving stipends to youth persons is related. I think it's also related to the NYS program, which is the National Youth Program. I think in this regard, our test was not specific to say on the CDBing matter. We wanted to see how the 500,000 was utilized. I think that even the issues might have come after we had done the selection and the testing for the other, the other items within Assembly for reporting on the NYS program. So I think that particular matter, we did not necessarily audit it aside, but it's part of the bigger or a sample that we audited. However, I think together with what Gorne has indicated that we're going to be doing, we will include this matter in the report back to the committee on how we dealt with certain matters that have to do with them and NYTA. I think maybe one issue that Gorne might have not mentioned is the one that relates to beneficiaries not being paid on time. I think our scope again here, when we come to the NYPA, we audit as far as expenditure is concerned and the issue of reporting on beneficiaries that we assisted. We look at the application. We look at whether the process was followed correctly, whether the approval was done correctly, and then we come to a stage where the payment is then approved, or the grant is approved to the beneficiaries, and then we test from that point where we look at the displacement of that particular, and then we then verify with the beneficiaries on whether they actually got what they're supposed to get, which is one matter that we highlighted as our concern in this particular slide, that there are instances that you would find that the beneficiaries do not necessarily they do not necessarily get what they were supposed to get. I think these are the two instances we noted. And that is basically after the process of recognition of the expenditure, as well as the recognition of the beneficiary that was assisted. Because the beneficiary was counted as having been assisted, in a sense that they got one of what they were due to get, and then the follow-up was made by the NYT in as far as the freeze, the movement freeze is concerned. We are trying to highlight in the inside. You see those slides, I think from slide 7 to 30, you'll appreciate is exactly the problem that the PC is actually elevating to us, to say our reports seem to be the same kind of report that doesn't yield, a different message. So we try to bring in those slides just so that we can start driving that conversation together to actually try to get to an impact, to say how does the entities, the department, the agency, the commission derive benefit for the persons on the ground. So I think the issue of beneficiaries not getting their grant on time is part of the message that we'll draft going forward. Because now we want to see why the delay, why are the people not improving, or the lives of the people not being improved, and all that. So I think we appreciate the feedback from the committee members, the honourable members. It's exactly our worry as well, and we're looking to see how we can package our messages better, such that even our audit processes improve, such that even our selection of projects as well as programs that we audit improve, so that we can bring this message that will actually drive impact to the citizens on the ground. I hope I answered all, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thabo. Tina will be happy if you, as what Kone has said in terms of the issues that you have raised, and for as long as you make an undertaking, you are committing that you look at the things that we have raised with you, and give us a report. You know, anytime when you are ready with that report, you can call Nelisa, and Nelisa will inform us. We'll give you a space to make that presentation, or we'll get that written report. But as long as you, anytime you're ready, you can come back to us. There's no problem. And thank you for also taking all the other comments that we have made on how best can you improve in terms of our expectation as the portfolio committee. But thank you very much. Honorable Sharif.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, can I also just make a recommendation that on that report that the AG will come back to the Portfolio Committee on, can they include a more full and thorough audit on the work done by the department, specifically looking at gender-based violence and femicide? I say this because I personally don't think it's okay that the AG didn't report on the expenditure of, for example, that 15 million for the NCGBVF. And so I would then recommend that in that report, when they come back, to do a full, proper, thorough analysis of the expenditure for GBVF. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Oh, no, it's fine. Did you hear that?
Fine.
Kone?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we've heard that, and we will see, we will include an analysis on the 50 million in the feedback that we provide to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. We have come to the end of this first presentation. Maybe if honorable members want to break a little bit for just to grab something to eat or tea, you can do it, but we can call the second presenter. ARC.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Bosi will be projecting for me, and I'm just going to wait for him to project. That's my daughter. I've taken my laptop for repair, so I've used her laptop. Yes, but we share the name, so she's also a Rampaka. Great.
Okay, so.
Chairperson, while we wait for Bosi to project, I will just start with the background, which I don't think we need to project will, the projection will come in as we go. Just to remind the committee that the ARC...
Sorry, Chairperson, I see there's a hand from Vusi, and I don't know whether he's encountering problems.
Okay. Vusi, you can come in.
Thank you, Josephine. Good day, Chairperson, and good day, honorable members. It's Vusi Muzishongwe. Chairperson, I'm requesting the Secretariat to allow me the sharing rights so that I can share the presentation of the ARC chapter.
Oh, okay.
It's done, sir.
Okay, Vusi. But it's done, Vusi.
Chair, can I proceed? The technology will find us as we proceed.
I'm checking up with Uzile, the gratitude.
All right.
Yeah, I'm checking with Uzile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm projecting now.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Just to remind the committee that we are an independent and non-executive committee within the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. And we operate within a charter which serves as a terms of reference for the ARC. Our broad mandate is to provide oversight and advise the department on governance, risk management, internal control practices, and compliance with applicable legislation. And during the 2021 financial year, the ARC met 5 times to oversee the department's quarterly performance reports. And we met another 2 times just for special meetings. Firstly, to consider and recommend the department's draft annual report for approval by the accounting officer. And secondly, to consider and discuss the AGSA annual audit report and management report for the 2021 financial year. Vusi, I'm still not seeing the presentation, but I'll carry on.
Chairperson, I'm trying to share. Chairperson, is engaged. The sharing screen has failed to start. Okay, let me try again.
Nelisa, help us, please.
I don't have the presentation, Chair.
I will send it to Nelisa so that she can help you.
Okay, Chairperson, I'm sending now.
Gratitude.
Chairperson, may I continue?
You continue. Yeah, you can continue.
Okay. That's fine. The presentation will focus on the ARC observations and conclusions on certain sections of the annual report. And it will also look at ARC's oversight of the department during the financial year. Okay. Preparation of the annual report, the department prepared and submitted the annual report to the AGSA, National Treasury, and the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation on time. and the department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings, and the findings were in the areas of compliance with legislation, financial and performance management, information technology governance, and compliance monitoring. Actually, I'm going to go into the detail and the areas that we as the ARC found to be quite concerning. On the area of performance information, according to the APP and the addendum to the APP, the department had 41 targets and 39 of the 41 planned targets were achieved at 95% achievement. The performance targets not achieved in program one where the plan with 100% payment of all valid invoices within 30 days. And there was just one invoice which was paid outside that period, and the approval of the master information technology strategy and plan, which was hindered by the GTO not being available to complete it on time. So as a committee, we did monitor the performance information of the department on a quarterly basis, and management provided clarities on areas of performance information where clarity was requested. And from the annual report, we noted that the performance information for the department is free from material misstatements. However, ARC noted that the annual audit by the AGSA identified some inconsistencies between the planned targets and the reported achievements, though those were immaterial. The inconsistencies were subsequently corrected by the department. It is from there that the AGSA concluded that the performance information of the department that was reviewed is both useful and reliable and is in compliance with the performance management and reporting framework. And then on the financial management side, we also noted from the audit of the financial statements that the financial statements were free from material misstatements, and the identified errors in the annual financial statements were not material in nature and amount. And those errors were subsequently corrected by management. And the AGSA concluded that the financial statements of the department were free from material misstatements. And then on the area of compliance with legislation, we had unauthorized expenditure. The department did not incur any unauthorized expenditure during the 2021-22 financial year. However, the financial statements do reflect unauthorized expenditure of 32 million, which was incurred in the previous year. The department investigated the unauthorized expenditure and requested condonation of the expenditure from the Standing Committee on Public Accounts through the National Treasury. The department has not yet received feedback from SCOPA regarding this condonation request that was made. So this issue is coming through also from the previous year. And as the ARC, we acknowledge the controls and the efforts of the department to ensure that sufficient effective control measures are in place to prevent unauthorized expenditure, as well as the efforts taken to ensure unauthorized expenditure incurred from the previous years is investigated. And the ARC will continue to monitor the process of resolving the unauthorized expenditure. And the concern that we had was mainly on the investigation of irregular expenditure, but I'll start off with what happened in the 2021-22 financial year. The department only incurred the 187,000 irregular expenditure, which was incurred in 2021, but was actually paid in 22 financial year. And then this transaction relates to the procurement of branding material and was previously reported to the committee through the quarterly meetings. The irregular expenditure was investigated and consequence management was implemented against the officials who were involved in the processing of the transaction. And we just want to highlight that the department managed to reduce the irregular expenditure incurred over the last 3 years. And if we go on, if we just go to the next slide, to highlight the performance in relation to irregular expenditure over the past 3 years, you can see in 2021-22, it was 187, as mentioned. 2020-21, it was 1,080,000. In 2019-20, it was 2,400,000. The numbers reflect strengthened controls, financial management controls around irregular expenditure. And however, if you look at the financial statements, you'll see a big balance coming through for irregular expenditure of 41 million, which was incurred in the previous years, which date back all the way to 2010-2011. And these items were a big concern to the committee, and I'll give feedback on what we have done or what the department has done thus far. During 2021-22, the department initiated the project to investigate the irregular expenditure of the prior years. And by the 31st of March 2022, irregular expenditure incurred in the 2020-21, 2019-20, 2018-19, 2017-18, and 2016-17 financial years was investigated, and consequence management was implemented on the officials responsible for the occurrence of the irregular expenditure based on the investigations that were undertaken. Management also reported to our committee that an application for the condonation of the irregular expenditure was made to Treasury for all the transactions which were investigated. And consequence management, the application was made to National Treasury for all the transactions investigated and where consequence management had been implemented. The department reported further that the investigation of irregular expenditure incurred during 2010 to 2015-16 has commenced and are planned to be concluded by the 31st of December 2022. So it is in those years, and I think the amount is about 28 million that has not been fully investigated, and the consequence management has not been undertaken. I just want to highlight that to the committee. It does concern the committee a lot. It's something that we've monitored from last year, but the department indicated that they were struggling with the information to be able to support the investigations or to actually undertake consequence management. So that I would like to highlight that it's an area that we are looking at closely as a committee. The department indicated they have this deadline, but it's an area that we will monitor. We've even recommended as a committee that should the department really struggle to obtain that information, that they should actually obtain advice from National Treasury on how to pursue these matters. Because we, as an ARC, we do not want to see these issues coming through again in the next financial year. So in a nutshell, we note the progress made by the department in investigating irregular expenditure and undertaking consequence management. And then on the HR side, the department's vacancy rate remains below 10%. 30 financial misconduct warnings were issued based on the investigations conducted by internal audit on irregular expenditure. And we want to highlight that one employee did not sign a performance agreement during the year, but the department assured the ARC that it had commenced with disciplinary action against the employee. On effectiveness of internal controls, based on the results of the review of the effectiveness of the department's internal controls conducted by internal audit and the AGSA, as well as reports received from management, the ARC's view is that the system of internal control was generally adequate and effective. The ARC noted improvement is required in certain controls, which includes budget monitoring. The ARC noted with great concern the underspending of the 31 million, which happened during the 2021 financial year. The potential underspending was noticed during the third quarter of the financial year, though we were monitoring it throughout the year. And management had made a commitment that the potential underspending would be reduced through financing unbudgeted needs, but that did not pan out. And another area that we raise concern on is information technology, which requires improvement on service continuity and security controls. The ARC appreciates the migration of the information, the IT services to cloud services, which was undertaken by the department during the financial year. The department dealt with several ICT challenges that it's been experiencing over the years. And some of the challenges have been resolved by the migration of the old infrastructure, including the operationalization of the department's website. However, the great improvement is required on service continuity and security controls. For example, backup and recovery, which can bring the department to its knees if not addressed. On the internal audit side, internal audit performed various audits, which included operational, financial compliance, as well as ad hoc requests as approved by the ARC. The results and conclusions of the internal audit review provided the ARC with assurance on the adequacy and effectiveness of controls, risk management and governance processes, as well as compliance with applicable laws and regulations. The ARC is still not satisfied with the existing capacity of the internal audit unit and is of the view that capacitation of the unit should be prioritized for it to function optimally and ensure a wide risk and audit coverage in the department. And on risk management, the ARC provided oversight on risk management on a quarterly basis. The committee reviewed the department's risk management strategy, policies, and monitored the implementation thereof and recommended the improvement of the risk management processes. The ARC concluded that there is room for improvement insofar as the department's risk management maturity level is concerned, and advised the department to provide capacity, including funding of the risk management activities. On the AG report, the ARC, in consultation with the accounting officer, agreed to the terms of the AGSA's engagement letter, audit strategy and audit fees for the 2021-22 financial year. The ARC monitored the implementation of the action plans to address matters arising from the management report issued in the prior year. The ARC held in-committee meetings with the AGSA to discuss any issues and unresolved matters, and there were no significant matters during the meeting. The ARC considered and discussed the AGSA's audit and the management reports with both management and the AGSA. The ARC concurs with the AGSA's conclusion, and the ARC is not aware of unresolved issues between the department and AG relating to the annual audit of 2021-22 financial year. The committee recommends that the accounting officer develops an audit action plan to resolve the audit findings identified during the 2021-22 financial year audit. This plan will be closely monitored by the ARC to ensure that all issues are being addressed. In conclusion, the ARC appreciates the effort of the department to achieve most of its performance targets despite the human constraint issues, experienced by the department during the year. And we also appreciate the effort for the department to obtain the opinion, an unqualified audit opinion with findings. We do believe the department can be able to go back to its clean status, which they've had previously, and the resolution of some of these irregular expenditure matters should be able to take us there. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm done. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Gratitude, you're no longer acting, wasn't it? Are you still acting?
Yes, I am still acting, Chair.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought they've appointed you. Okay. Thank you very much for your report. That is the report, honorable members. Any clarity seeking question? Can I get hands? Masondo, Songo.
Yes, Chair. Sorry, I just logged in. I was out. I hear you calling me just when I get accepted.
Oh, okay. I was calling for hands because they are done. So I thought that let me call your names because sometimes it's the same site. Yeah, Fraser. The network, Yami, it's not stable. So I thought that maybe let me call two honorable members if there are questions. Vusi susa ilona document yakho. Yeah, siyabonga. Honorable Sheriff. Masiko Mpiti, okay, honorable sheriff.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to the ARC. Just one question from my side. How do you audit the programs? Do you just look at the reports given that says KPI met, or do you dig a little bit deeper into it? That's all from me, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sheriff. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I also have one question around the effectiveness of the internal controls, Chair, where the ARC has noted that there has been a progress in terms of the internal controls and through the internal audit as well as AGSA during the financial year ending 31st of March 2022. However, Chair, they have noted that there must be an improvement in terms of certain controls, which includes the budgeting and monitoring. Now, my concern is around how ARC would pick up a potential underspending only on the third quarter, Chairperson, because when you are picking up a potential underspending at such a late hour or at such a late time, the measures for recovery would only leave the fourth quarter for any other measures that the department would put to prevent the underspending. So I want to check that how is it that the ARC would only pick up a potential underspending at such a late notice on the third quarter? What happens to the first quarter? Because if you check in terms of a target and a target being met, but a underspending in the first quarter, you are able to put in measures earlier than rather than later in the third quarter. That's the first part of the question. The second one, Chair, for me, it is a concern that they would say that the commitment that the department would put in terms of reducing the underspending is through the financing of unbudgeted needs. So I need more information, Chairperson, on the measure or unbudgeting and financing of unbudgeted needs as a measure of reducing underspending. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiko. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, mine is really just to go back to the last meeting that we did have with the ARC, and we had requested a report, and perhaps we, you know, I'd just like to know where is that particular report? And perhaps to just get an outline of where we stopped with that issue, because I don't feel like it was fully answered in that last meeting. I think it's, you know, it really relates to the questions that are being asked by Honorable Masiko in terms of you know, picking up certain particular issues, which are very hard to pick up if the information is not there. So can we please have that report? Where was it? Has it been sent? Because I have not seen it, unfortunately, Chair. So if it has been sent, you'll correct me, but I have not been able to receive it and to read over it. Thank you.
If I may come back, Honorable Chair, if you allow. Chair, can
okay.
I proceed? Okay, thank you. I just forgot my last note that I noted here. Something seems to be amiss, Honorable Chair. The first thing, the AG report, the Act report notes, in fact, the department says that there are 30 misconduct cases or warnings around a financial misconduct. But in terms of the reports that we are receiving, there has been no irregular expenditure or unauthorized expenditure or fruitless and wasteful expenditure identified in the 2021-2022 financial year in both the reports that we received, firstly, from the Office of the Auditor General and now from the Audit and Risk Committee. So can we just get clarity on that, Chairperson, because there is a disjuncture or something just seems to be amiss in relation to the two when the department is reporting the 30 financial misconduct warnings that have been given. But we are not seeing this coming through in the reports that we have received, both of the ARC as well as the AGSA. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masiko. Mpiti.
Sorry, Chair. There's just one point that I actually I missed on my side to ask. Apologies on that. I just want to go to what is the slide? I'll tell you now. It's slide 10 of the report. And I think it's point number... number two. Yeah, it's point number two. I just would like to know if maybe this point can just be expanded upon in regards to in particular the 2021 in regards to that consequence management which was implemented. Do we have any idea what type of consequence management that was implemented in regards to those officials who were involved with irregular expenditure? I think I just need an expansion on that, because to simply say, you know, was it a warning? What exactly was that type of consequence management, particularly related to the 2021 financial year? Thank you.
Okay. Over to you, Patricia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with how do we audit the programs. So the programs are audited by internal audit every quarter, and they look at the SMART principles and you know, how the targets are set. And per quarter, they also look at whether what has been reported is accurate, both from a reliability and a usefulness point of view. So they audit the specific programs, and they give that feedback to management. Management makes corrections, and then they come and report to the ARC. So we use the product of the internal audit functions. And then the other question that was asked was this issue of the financial misconduct warnings. Yes, the misconduct warnings were in relation to the previous years. So I did indicate that there were several years where the investigations were completed and consequence management was undertaken. So for the most part, the consequence management undertaken was to give financial misconduct warnings. And that would also, I assume, unless I'm wrong, sorry, Chair, maybe the department can come in to correct me, but I assume for the 2021-22 financial year, that would also have been a financial misconduct warning. I'll ask the CFO just to, or the CAE just to clarify that. The effectiveness of internal audit controls, overall, they have been no regression, but the regression has been more on this budgeting and monitoring. And we did, as a committee, go into a bit of detail on how that could be. We have had a look at it every quarter, just to clarify for Honorable Masiko. Every quarter we get promises of what will be done to rectify that problem. It's only in the third quarter that we notice that it's becoming a crisis. But there are many audit findings that we would have picked up by the first quarter, and we get given a promise, and we monitor what has been done about that that particular issue. And by maybe the third quarter, it would have rectified itself. So it's normal practice for us to highlight the issue, ask management to respond, and they make a promise, and then we monitor that. Unfortunately, in this case, by the third quarter, it was clear that it's a big problem. But it's part of the finance report that we look at every quarter. And and this level of understanding is not even usual for the department. So when we got the promises, we thought something could be done. But this time around, there was a huge understanding at the end of the year. So I'm hoping that the CFO will go into a bit more detail on that, on what gave rise to that. But we did monitor it. Unfortunately, it did not correct, even after the promises that were made. And Honorable PC referred to a report that was requested, I think, at the previous meeting, but I'm not sure, because we were not present at that meeting, what that report was for. Perhaps the DG or Honorable Shoki can, not Honorable Shoki, the DG Shoki
can just help us to understand what that report was about so we can assist in answering. So Chair, we note the questions and we'll think about them thoroughly, especially on the issue of underspending, because we tried to monitor it, but for some reason this is the year that it did not self-correct. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mpiti?
Hi, Chair. Thank you.
Mbiti?
Chairperson. Chair?
Your hand up. Or really, stand still.
No, Chair. Am I audible to you, Chair?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Chair, I'm saying that response...
And Honorable Sharif, your hand is up also?
Yes, Sharif. Please.
Okay. After Mpiti, you can come in. Yeah. Okay, Honorable Mpiti, over to you.
What I've asked, and I need an explanation. And I'll say it like that. I'm not going to try to explain. I've asked the question, and I really want it to be answered, and I need a reason why it hasn't been answered. Because I think at this point, am I audible, Chair? Because I'm hearing that I'm not audible.
We got you.
Yeah, audible.
Got you halfway, Chair.
We are audible in PT from my side.
All right. Thank you, Chair. So yeah. my point is, I've asked firstly for the report from the last meeting. Where is that report? That's the first question that I'm asking. Right? The second question that I asked was around the consequence management that was reported on slide 10. I've asked what was that consequence management that has taken place, can we get details around that particular point? Because it has not been expanded enough, in my particular view, on that particular PowerPoint presentation. Thirdly, and it's related to the second point, is that, you know, if the department says that, sorry, if the ARC says that there were 30 financial misconduct warnings, but there's no irregular or unauthorized or fruitless and wasteful expenditure identified in the period under review, that doesn't co-align. So can we just understand that properly? Because I'm seeming to really be lost on this point. So those three questions, please, can they be answered? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So number one, it really bothers me when you say that you take the promise that it's going to be rectified. To me, I don't think that that's good enough. So I want to know, where's the consequence management when ARC recommends but it's not implemented, number one. And number two, somebody needs to take responsibility for not either informing ARC about the report requested by my colleague, Honorable Mpiti, who let the ball fall. Because it's unacceptable for the portfolio committee to recommend and then agree, it's agreed to, and then we don't get the report. It's unprofessional, and it's really says to us that you don't hear when the portfolio committee asks for something. So again, I'm not sure if ARC needs to answer this or the department, but where is the consequence management
when it comes to issues like this. For me, it's unacceptable to hear, we didn't get the message, we don't know what report you're talking about, when it was agreed on an open meeting that this report will be provided to the portfolio committee. Chairperson, we don't ask for reports because we're bored. We have specific reasons why we ask for specific reports. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think, Honorable Sheriff, you are correct. I think some of the those reports must respond on some of the questions that you have asked, because ARC also make recommendations. And when they make recommendations, it's the department that needs to implement. As the department is hearing all the questions that have been raised by honorable members, the department will have to respond on those issues. The report, we requested the department, if you can remind me, was it the ARC or the department, Sheriff?
It was the ARC, Chair.
PT?
Chair, just to expand on this particular report, I think Mr. Vusi knows about it. He was the one who was presenting that particular the report. We agreed as a committee that the information he provided was not sufficient enough. He undertook to ask that he would bring back a report, you know. And so now when the ARC doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'm really confused at this stage, because they are the ones who undertook to give us a report.
Yeah, ngiyakhumbula mphithi. Ngiyakhumbula. Ngiyakhumbula manje ukuthi ukhuluma ngayiphi report. Vusi is here, Vusi must respond to that report. Because I remember, in fact, what he presented that day was not adequate and satisfactory. So we said he must go give us a full report regarding that. And then today Vusi must respond. Nyakumbula. Nyakumbula. So Honorable Masiko, is your hand up or is not that?
No. It's a new hand, Chairperson, and it's a follow-up to the response that we have received to the question I asked around the financial controls, budgeting, monitoring. Chairperson, I don't think that we must accept the fact that red flags are being raised from the first quarter, and it only becomes a crisis point when the recommendations that ARC has made to the department are not implemented when it comes to issues of underfunding. We need, Chairperson, to know who has not implemented the recommendations from the first quarter. If ARC is saying that they started to raise the red flags from the first quarter around issues of underfunding, and you get to the third quarter, to the last quarter, you are sitting with an underfunding of about 31 million, cannot be accepted, Chairperson. We must know who in the department is not implementing the recommendations made as from the first quarter, and somebody must be held accountable for that. So we must, Chairperson, when the department responds, because ARC here is giving us a response that it's not that they picked it up only in the third quarter. It became a crisis in the third quarter, but they started raising the flags from the first quarter. And they made recommendations to the department. Somebody did not implement, or maybe a couple of the units that were supposed to ensure the mitigating factors around the underspending. Somebody did not do their work, Chairperson, and we need to be told who it is and whether or not those individuals are being held accountable for such. Chairperson, I think, you know, really it's important as this a portfolio committee for us to know, because issues of underspending has become a problem throughout the government department, and nobody is held accountable. Communities want to know, because services are not being received, but so much money is being taken back, Chairperson. I think it's about time that individuals are held accountable for this issue of underspending. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
In fact, Honorable Members, underspending is a crime. And I think the Audit and Risk Committee, together with the AG's office, they must do something. There's no way that the Portfolio Committee will take underspending lightly. I think this is one issue that the Minister also must take into consideration, that why would the department that is not even allocated enough funds, and then at the same time they underspend? Because National Treasury will never take them seriously. Why would they increase your allocation when you're underspending? It's a problem. Ngapha, women are suffering. Ngapha, young people are suffering. There's high rate of unemployment. There's a lot that is happening out there. Ngapha, persons disabled are suffering. There's a child that we did oversight, plus we presented something to the department. That child, it doesn't have hands, and at that time they did school and so forth. And you know, people are not getting joy, but there is underspending. So I think all of us, Honorable Members, together with the department, something must be done. The department must tell us, why are they not charging, or why there's no consequence management to officials who are underspending. And the CFO, I would like to hear the CFO. Why are you quiet when you are doing your job? You can see that here there is underspending. What do you do as a financial officer? Because that on its own, it reflects bad to the work that you're doing on behalf of the department. If there is underspending, what I say as CFO, does it mean your projections were not informed? What does that mean? Does it mean you don't pay service providers on time? What does that mean? What could be the reason of underspending? And if this was highlighted from the first quarter and then the second quarter, things were highlighted, third quarter, until fourth quarter. You remember even this year, first quarter that you were presenting, we have noted these things, especially program four, where we have met program five and program four, youth and then persons with disabilities. That, you know, these things now are clearing. What is it that you're going to do second quarter? You are going to, is it third quarter? What is it that have you done? Some regular questions are amalunga weParliament, and then totally report it to Vusi. So, kala ngawe, which is the report. And then size nalankamanya ma question amalunga ahloniphekile awabuzile. Over to you, Vusi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if I remember correctly, that the honourable members are referring to is a report relating to the appointment of contract workers during COVID-19, if I'm not mistaken. And if that's the report, the department submitted it through the BBR, although I'm not certain is for which quarter, on the progress report on the implementation of the BBR, as to when exactly was this submitted, I'm not certain, Chairperson, but can the Chairperson just allow me to verify, just to ascertain the fact, with the coordinator of the BBR, Chairperson?
Yeah, you can verify with the permission granted.
Okay, thanks. I'll come back to later.
Yeah. Gratitude, can you respond to those that are relevant to you? I'm a follow-up.
Chairperson, I'd like to request that the DG helps with the consequence management, maybe making it clearer. But my input remains that the financial misconduct warnings were for the previous year's irregular expenditure. And those years are, I'll just read out the years that were actually where the investigations were.
Maybe let me bail you out, ne? Gratitude? Let me bail you out.
Okay.
Those of consequence management, they are not within your scope, ne, of practice.
Yes.
They are the ones who are responsible for operational matters. So, mfuna ukusiza lapho ukuthi wena ungazwari ngalokho.
Okay.
Bona, they will respond to that, those ones. Wena, just respond to those that are relevant to you, Pele.
Chairperson, I noted the question of the report, which Vusi will come back to. The consequence management will refer to the department. And then also the issue of understanding. I would like, Chair, if you allow, that management responds to it in the detail that's required.
Okay. Can we now allow the department to respond to the questions that have been raised by honorable members? Acting DG Shoki?
Chairperson, the DG raised her hand.
Yes,
she raised her hand.
Yeah. Yeah, Nyambona Mash.
DG,
you're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I will switch off the video because the network is weak.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. And my apology, myself and the Minister were at Cabinet. I got some of the questions. If there's anything that I leave out, I'll request members to indicate that I've left out some of the questions. But I came in when the question was about the report. I think that one Vusi has already spoken to that. And then the one on consequent management. Yes, it's true what Honorable Masiko and Honorable Mpiti are saying, the fact that there were no unauthorized, irregular or fruitless expenditure within the period concerned. But you will remember that from 2010 to 2015, the department had so many irregular expenditures that we can't even get a clean audit. It's not because of what we've done now, but because of the outstanding irregular expenditures from that side. So what we did, I remember I reported even in one of the portfolio committee meetings some other time that we had to appoint two additional people to assist the internal audit, because the internal audit is understaffed, in order to investigate the previous, from 2010 to 2015, the previous irregular expenditure, because until we investigate them, National Treasury will not pardon us, but also the Auditor General will always have regard to that. So as a department, we had 127 batches of transactions that we investigated, which amounted to 13.1 million irregular expenditure from those years. But also the National Treasury had investigated 21 transactions, which amounted to 3.3 million. So the investigations pointed out to who were the people who were involved in those transactions. So I know that Honorable Pete, he said, what was the sanction? Was it just a warning? The challenge is that even in terms of labor relations, you can't go and dismiss someone for an action that they did in 2010 or 2015 or whatever. That is why we had to give them warnings. All of them, we gave them warning. They differed, some from oral warning, some written warning, some final warning. However, we still couldn't deal with all the irregular expenditures from that side, because some, because of the website that had crashed that time, we couldn't get the information. And some, I don't think it's even because of the website, it's because of the information that had disappeared. So there were 196 batches that were outstanding. That is what cost us the clean audit. Even now, we qualify in everything in terms of getting the clean audit, but because we had not finalized the irregular expenditure from those years, they still held us on those irregular expenditure. But what we've done, because we couldn't get the information, we could have investigated everything, but because we couldn't get the information within the department, we then approached CETA, because National Treasury and the Auditor General didn't have this information. We approached CETA. That's where we are getting information. We've already retrieved 144 batches from the 196. We are busy investigating them. We still have 52 to go through so that we can investigate all of them and implement consequence management on that, where we can retrieve, or we can be able to receive the funds. If we have to retrieve the funds, we'll do that. But if not, that's when we'll be able to approach the National Treasury and SCOPA, so that they can be able to write off. But most of them, it's not money lost, it's where people didn't follow certain procedures. So that is the consequence management that is referred to. Every government department has to deal with all of them. So with us, it was 2010 to 2015 where there was havoc. Because when you look at the 127 that we've investigated, and the 21 by National Treasury, and the 196, there were lots of irregular expenditure. So that is what is referred to, not to now. But the Auditor General always still goes back to all those outstanding irregular expenditures. So that is the 30 misconduct or the consequence management that followed was based on what people have done from before. And on the under expenditure, Chair, as a department, we have now approached HSRC. We are working with universities, because some of the money, because we are a department that is responsible for monitoring, research, and all those. You advertise, sometimes the SEM would advertise three times and not get the responses that are required. So now we've come up with a strategy. We've agreed with the approval of the National Treasury. HSRC is now our research institution that we'll be able to use in order to be able to get the service providers or for it to do our research. we've come up with another strategy of the demand plan beforehand so that people submit their demand plan so that we know what is it that they're going to demand for the whole year so that we can see whether they'll be able to use the money or not. There was another one. I know that there was a referral to disability, that disability requires money, but it was not given money. I have with me here the report on under expenditure that shows that
Didi.
Even disability, yes,
Didi.
Yes,
Didi.
Yes,
Didi. Didi.
Yes, Chair. Yes, Chair. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chair?
I was interjecting you.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to say to you, maybe what the other thing that you need to do as a department is to check or do audit of the people that you have employed, but whether you have employed the rightful people or what. Whether you have attracted the right skills of people that are needed by your department or what. Because, you see, the fact that you even went out to source assistance or help of the HRC, that's what you said, ne? It means even the people that are, yeah, the people who are in that unit in your department, that means even if you assess them when yourself as the DG, they don't produce quality work and they're not productive. I'm not saying you're wrong by going outside, but you are right to go outside and seek for help. Yeah, boss? Where you can see what here and you are lacking and there's a gap, you need help. But also, do assess the people that are there on whether they are relevant for certain positions that you have that they've been appointed for. In fact, human resource department should be the one that is doing that audit on behalf of the department, so that you see your senior members must take full responsibility at DG and kungabi ukuphela uyiwani othola lo mthwalo lo. Nabo, they must take a responsibility on some of the people that are there in the department. Because the help that you have sourced now, it will focus on certain objectives. Is it a permanent solution or is it just a short-term solution? Yeah. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. But as much as you have sourced help, but is that a permanent solution or a short-term solution?
Thank you, Chair. Oh, yes, on expenditure, under expenditure. Chair, I'm also disappointed that we didn't spend. And if you were in the department, you would have known that I've been talking to the managers about under expenditure. So I was saying, because the suggestion was that the money should have been reallocated. All branches within the department had underspent. Disability itself had underspent 5 million, 5.2. Youth has underspent 2.4. MNE 3.1. Stakeholder coordination 4.5 million. So all of them have not spent. So I couldn't even say because I can see under expenditure, then we're going to transfer the money here. Yes, we understand we're from 2020 and 2021 where there was COVID-19 and people couldn't travel, people couldn't do whatever. But the under expenditure, I agree, is just too much. Hence, we are re-looking at how to do things. That's why we, as I said, we brought the HSRC and the others. But also, Chair, what we have agreed, we had to fight to be able to achieve this. When we move from the building, where in fact we've already moved, but we are still unpacking and whatever, we are going to have a saving of 10 million. So we've requested National Treasury so that they allow us to be able to use it to employ more resources, because Chair, youth has got, I think youth on its, the whole of youth is less than 10. Disability, also they are less than 10. And when I say less than 10, it includes even the AIDS. So the department is structured not properly. We're working on that. The structure, the interim structure of 2019 of the restructuring of government departments is not yet finalized because of DPSA and National Treasury. So those are some of the challenges. Yes, we might have the money, but if we do not have enough people, but also, as you said, some is because of capacity. And that is what leads sometimes to people being unhappy, because when you indicate that people don't have capacity, people complain, people cry of bullying and all those things. But that is the challenge. Yes, Chair, I think other things I'll respond when we present.
Yeah, that's why it's important for acknowledging those shortcomings, because, you know, even ourselves sometimes raise some issues with the department. We don't raise because we want to spite people or undermine people, but we can see if there are shortcomings. And we want to assist, because our role and responsibility as members of parliament is also assist and advise departments on what best can work for the department to improve on delivery. Yeah, well, deliverables and for a better performance. Or for good performance, or for a better performance of the department or any entity, or even including the city itself. So, obviously, people, when you critique them, we don't criticize because we want to criticize people. I get it now, we're outsiders. So it's easy for us to see what I learn at a campus. Our officials must take our comments very seriously and improve, because when you are insulted out there, it's us also who defend you with a statement. So and there's nothing wrong if maybe and then you call us, Tina, we are free to give you those whatever we've said in the meeting, so that Nina, you can improve on certain things. But kokunye uyabona ukuthi there's stagnation, akumuvi kumiwe endaweni eyi-one. So I'm hoping deeply that is going to be corrected, and where identified already there's underspending, there needs to be improvement. But when we get to its third quarter, before the fourth quarter, and I when I got to make sure, here, we have moved as a department and that there is improvement. Otherwise, I'm telling you, this department, if it fails and people are saying, people out there are saying, it's useless, let's close it down and whatever, you must know, all of you, Guti, you have contributed for drowning this department. And you have failed women and youth and persons with disability of South Africa. But this is so okay. We need to work together, honorable members and the officials of the department. You know, if we can just work together, have a positive mind, but no, let's improve here. There's nothing wrong with Tasha with Atiazin Yasulegala. Guma being at Mofunism, you're not bullying. It's like myself when I want things to happen. I'm bullying, but I'm not bullying. It's because things must happen. And if things are not happening, I'll push with the honorable members, the committee will push the department harder and harder and harder. Not because you hate people. It's because we want what is best for our people. I'm sure we are back. You can respond to that. And I think because in my cases, DG, it is the responsibility of your human resource department. So they must improve in the manner in which they deal with cases. You know, sometimes it's nice if when we have blundered and say, yes, I admit here I've blundered, DG. How do we move out from this? This thing of just officials wanting to drag things and think, which is I'm an honorable member. It's unfortunately, we are a committee that reads. And then we keep these things in our brains. And when you come back to the portfolio committee, we'll raise them again. So please, you need to change the manner in which you do things. Thank you very much, DG, for joining us. And we can now move forward to, if there's no hand from honorable members, I don't know, what is your suggestion? You want us to continue or to break for lunch? Or what? Can I hear from honorable members so that we are at the last item? Yeah, our minister, we are here. You're welcome, minister. Bonamange.
Let's continue.
Can I get honorable members?
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Yes, we welcome your partnership all the time, be it administrative or political. We also thought we were going to take this advantage of this meeting to thank you for also participating in some of our political work and see for yourselves what we try and reach out and do, because we are not just made of administrators, we are also political. There is absolutely nothing we could have tried to hide on things that went wrong in 2010 to 2015, or pray that those mistakes go away or we get them hidden. But this, and we could not even the whole world suffered COVID-19, we also did. So there was no throwing money out of the house because of COVID, because the savings, we should come back and say it will be utilized for this and this and that. We have moved house now because we realized that where we were paying rent, it was a little bit more. And as DG said, we have done some savings. Chair knows that we have been limping for some time. We've been without Deputy Minister for almost a year plus. We are short-served, but we're not rushing into doing things where we shouldn't. Where we had complained ourselves internally is where we have underspending, where we have officials who are present who should not have. In fact, I now know much better than anybody else that 95% performance is not 100% performance. The conversation we're having with you today is not like the one we had last year or year before last. We are moving forward positively because you are also showing positive spirit and partnership working with us. We are going to strive to make sure that we move forward and with that positive spirit. Just taking advantage of your greeting me, we will also be expecting you as we work with the president on the second gender-based violence and femicide summit. All the prep work is done. We are even, I'm ready, that we share the report, the preliminary report with you. But a few days ago, we had a very successful Women in Economy conference, very successful, again with the president. These are the things that we do, and we were very happy to see that we had the support of our committee, that we are not just about, NSP is not just about killing and burying women, but that women can stand up and participate economically, and that there should be economic inclusiveness in South Africa as women fought for freedom in this very country. We are able to do all these things because we know you are behind us and you are very supportive of us, and this is what we fought for. We really want to move with you with that spirit, that which is important, that women are not only there to kill and be killed, and be chased and be raped and all that, but they also should be financially included in participating in the mainstream of the economy of this country. This is the mandate of the department. So these are the things that we are busy with and should be, us working together, be saying, let's push these things together. Let's say, as we move into the summit, as we move into the 16 days of activism, as we move to DRAM, which focuses on disability, we move together. We look out in the foreign countries for partnerships, like the one South Korea had just volunteered, which really reduced me to tears, of disabled people earning a living out of arts and culture, but also offering that they can come offer us, that it can be a permanent partnership which they are very keen to work with us on. How I wish these people would, this whichever amount, small or big, on we didn't really spend on this and that, could help us pass this and focus on the real work that we, or South Africans, women, youth, and persons with disabilities want us to focus on and contribute in the true sense of the word. But we really thank you for pushing positively, because there is a need for us to also look at that and make sure, because it was tough. We worked together. It was really tough to deal with gender-based violence and femicide. It's still tough, but it's been tougher even earlier. We couldn't even say bring in the economic element when it was gloomy and there was COVID. On top of that, women, just women in South Africa, had to deal with double pandemic. But we thank God that, you know, it's almost like we are getting somewhere. Why? Because we strive to move together and not hide where things are going wrong, because we can't hide the old. We need to still upheave in the old. We need, as Didi said, move forward with the things that we think as we can't be going backward and forward. We want forward, forward and forward. And that's what South Africans are yearning and are asking for from us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister, for your input, and hopefully everyone has listened, and we are committed to work with the department and assist you in whatever need you whatever help you need from us, we will give it to you. Whatever support you need from us as a committee, we will give it to you. And we will also request you to share your schedule of all the summits that you are going to have, because honorable members were saying, Chair, did you get this invite? And I was like, I don't know, because I get many invites. Sometimes I deploy even members to some of the events where you invite us, and where the chair is not available, I deploy honorable members. If you can share with us, honorable members, they'll want to attend to your summits in different provinces to show that the committee will forever support you, including the NDA and the CGE. That's what we do. And fortunately, in this committee, we are a team. We work as a collective. Nothing like law, opposition, law. Yeah, we work together, because when we come together, everyone, magat deploy, we are snake as a report, and we move forward. That's who we are. But thank you, Minister. Can I get honourable members? Kuti nifuna kuti sipreke kancane nielandini ngoba kade thina singenile meeting, singene before iqala meeting yangempela. Honourable members, can just tell me, what must I do now?
Hey, we would really appreciate a comfort break, even if it's for 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
Thank
you. Okay, let's have a comfort break for... Don't switch off, Ned, and don't log out. Let's have a comfort break here, 15 minutes, whilst the department is preparing. Now Vusi, uzomakancane mfowethu, so qhubeka nawe after 15 minutes. Sike sisukume nemiqolo yethu seyibuhlungu manje. Okay, let's adjourn for 15 minutes. 15, not 50.
Recording stopped.
Thanks.